We're delighted this evening and Mr. Colin Maxwell is with us to give a report concerning the work that he's involved in and also to bring the word to us and bring us a message from the Lord. I'm just going to hand over the next part of the meeting to him. We announced on Lord's Day that there will be a retiring offering and that will be taken up at the end of the meeting as we leave. So welcome you all in the Saviour's name for those who are watching online as well. And we extend a warm welcome, we can truly say that tonight, to our brother Mr. Maxwell. And we trust that the Lord will bless him as he comes forward to the pulpit.
Thank you very much. Thank you, brother. That's the warmest welcome I've had in a long time. Usually you thank people for coming out to meetings on such an inclement evening, and it's almost inclement the other way, but I certainly appreciate the opportunity of coming along tonight. Olive was out in the car this afternoon, and she was coming home, and she was somewhere about Dungannon. She gave me a ring and she said it's 30 degrees in the car. It's also a warm one, isn't it, by anybody's standards. Can we turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. There's two things that I want to do tonight. I want, first of all, to bring a word from the Lord. And that's always important, I think, when Christian people gather together. It was a wicked man in the Bible who asked the question, is there any word from the Lord? And how much more then the child of God redeemed by the blood. Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to read from the verse 1 down to the verse 9 of the passage. Book of Proverbs chapter 16, commencing our reading at the verse 1. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We'll end our reading at verse 9, and as ever we look to the Lord to bless the public reading of his word. We'll seek his face again just for a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the meeting thus far, the gathering of the saints, the fellowship, Lord, that we enjoy one with another. But best of all, we can say tonight that our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We can say tonight, my God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me as his child. Why should I longer fear? We need thy help, Lord, in the meeting. We intend to preach the word. And what would it be, Lord, if we were left to our own strength? Lord, it would avail nothing. The arm of flesh will surely fail. And we dare not trust our own. But we thank you, Father, that you've promised to give power. If we've been evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children. How much more does our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask of him? And that's all, Lord, we're simply asking for tonight, that your word might have free course among us and be glorified. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's the words of verse 1 that we want to give a little thought to this evening. It says there, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Our text is one of several in God's word that belong to a certain genre, a certain group of texts that stress, and they really do stress the doctrine, the great doctrine of the sovereignty of God in all affairs of life. Even in the chapter that we read together, there are several there. Look at verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, note the vehemence there, the emphasis there. Yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. We have it again in verse 9 where we finished our reading. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And then again at the end of the chapter, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof, the answer that is going to come out, like the roll of a dice, the tossing of a coin, the answer is from the Lord. And there are similar verses elsewhere in the Bible. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. The king's heart, where the word of a king is, the Bible says there is power, absolute power in those days. There were despots. But even the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, with great ease, the Lord can turn the heart even of the king, whithersoever he will. Now, being, of course, a deputation meeting, and I'm conscious of that, we need to bring our verse to bear on the great work of evangelism. The mission board was set up to encourage, to facilitate evangelism, the preaching of the gospel to every creature, the go get them idea. In one of his books, John R. Rice tells the story of the old soldier during the Civil War in America, one of the old Confederate soldiers. And they went out into battle. But when the lads came back again, old Jim, as he was known, was missing. Where's old Jim? There's no sign of him. And the lads back at the camp began to say, well, he never really did grasp the idea of the trumpet or the bugle call, when to advance. And obviously he misread the one to retreat, and he hasn't come home again. Where is he? Well, he was missing. But a couple of days later, one of the lookouts at the camp could see two figures coming. One was a Yankee soldier with a hand up in the air, and behind him there was old Jim with a gun. You can picture him in your mind, can't you? Determined, poking him in the back, getting him towards the camp. And this whoop went up, old Jim's all right. And they went out to see him. Jim, you have brought us home a soldier. Old Jim was raging. Jim said, where did yous all go? You left me in the heat of battle. And he's not your prisoner, he's my prisoner. He says, the forest is full of them. Go and get one for yourself. The go get them attitude to evangelism. And we might be tempted to wonder, as we think about evangelism, we might be tempted to wonder, is there anything left to chance in this matter? Did God come up with the great idea that his church would preach the gospel to every creature? Go out into a dying world, men and women lost in sin, in danger of hellfire, dying and going out into eternity. Did he have this great idea that he would send out his people to preach the gospel? And then, having floated his thoughts on the matter, did he just sit back and wait to see if it would all take off? Or did he merely, and I'm using the word merely here, did he merely know beforehand that he was on to a winner and that there would be people gathered in? Or did he ensure, the success of the work, working out all things after the counsel of his own will? It's basic theism tonight, not just Reformed theology. It's basic theism to assert the last that we mentioned, that God has got exactly what he desired. Because, in another verse for the earlier list, Psalm 115 says, our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now, in this matter tonight of missionary work, I have just 2 points. I got a text yesterday wanting to know, did I have a title for my sermon? And I decided, well, with just 2 points, I'll make them the title. So the first one point is this. The question is asked, who will go? Who will go? This question was actually asked, of course, in Isaiah chapter 6, the great chapter of the holiness of God, the kings that died and so on. Isaiah taken up in the vision into the temple of the Lord, saw the Lord again sitting upon his throne, very apt passage to think about. And the question was asked, who will go for us? And Isaiah volunteered. Isaiah put up the hand and he says, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. Send me. We can say that the man or the woman who goes, first of all, is a saved one. We know that God can use all kinds of people to forward his purposes, even complete reprobates. They will spend eternity in the blackness of darkness forever. And he can use all kinds of people to do his work. You think about Balaam in Numbers chapter 23. When you read the words of Balaam, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord to do more or less. Guys, that's powerful, powerful preaching. I've preached from the text that came from Balaam's mouth. Or Caiaphas, who prophesied that one man would die for the nation. This he spake not of himself. In other words, it didn't originate in his heart. It came because God was using him to prophesy the death of Christ. But ordinarily, in the normal course of things, God uses his own redeemed people. These are first-hand witnesses who know by experience what it is to be saved by the grace of God, to know deliverance from guilt, to know deliverance from the power of sin, to see it broken in their lives, to see it smashed, growing in grace and in holiness. And that's something that angels must remain ignorant about. Indeed, they desire to look into these things. The Lord uses first-hand witnesses. He sends his redeemed people. And then he uses called people. Sometimes there is a particular call to the Christian ministry. And we think of the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 1 and 12. He thanked God that he was counted faithful. For he says, the Lord hath put me into the ministry. He felt the burden of the call. The doors opened for him. And he went out and he had that great gospel ministry. He was called of God. But it was alluded to in the opening prayer. There is a general call to every child of God. Male, female, young and old, new to the faith. Maybe many years, again, to be a witness for Christ. And our text here is telling us that the preparation of the heart to respond to that and the answer of the tongue, even the saying, well, Lord, here am I. Open up a door for me. Can I be a help in the work of God somewhere? This is all of the Lord. Because the Lord works in us, said Paul, writing to the church at Philippi. The Lord works in us both to will, here am I, and to do, send me, of his good pleasure. He uses us, let's say here, despite our inabilities. Our inabilities. You know, even the most gifted genius, the most multi-talented Christian has to confess that without Christ, he can do nothing. What gift does he exercise that was not given to him and has been sustained for him to use? If that gift was withdrawn, just taken away again, God, who is sovereign in the granting of it, could just as easy take it back again. Well, then the one who shines just becomes as other men, because without the Lord, we can do nothing. But God is working here, isn't he? He works despite our natural inability. He works also despite our fears. I thought about Jonah, of course, the classic case. The man who was called to go to Nineveh, go and preach the gospel there in Nineveh. Tell them 40 days, there's going to be wrath come. Tell them to repent. And you know the story, how he went in the opposite direction. A dereliction of duty here, a blank refusal, absence. Absent, without official leave. But God
still got him to Nineveh. And it wasn't pretty, was it? But to go through a horrible boat journey, to go through the belly of a whale, of a great fish, we have him spat out into the land, and then we have him sulking and all that afterwards. Not a pretty story, Jonah, was it? But nevertheless, the Lord still got him there, despite our fears. I think about the Apostle Paul. The night before he starts his ministry, he's in a hotel room in wicked Corinth. Corinth was a hellhole on earth. Corinth was a modern-day Sodom. I don't know if they had their pride days. If they did, the flags were the whole way down the avenue and everywhere. It was a really, really, really wicked place, Corinth. And Paul, the mighty Paul, quaked in his boots. The Lord appeared unto him the night before, didn't he? Acts chapter 18. And he says, Paul, don't you be afraid. I'll go with you. I will be with you. I'll be with your mouth. I have much people in the city. And the Apostle Paul went forth. The hymn writer said, anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. I thought about the Lord sending out the 70 in Luke chapter 10. I think it's very interesting how it's worded. He said that he was sending them as lambs among wolves. He didn't say, I am sending you out as lambs, little fluffy lambs, so helpless. And there are wolves, snarling, hungry, and vicious, and predators. No, he didn't separate the two here. He brought them together. He says, I am sending you among the wolves. And he sent out 70 of them. And you know what it says at the end of that excursion, that time of gospel mission? It says the 70 returned again with joy. They weren't worried sheep anymore. There wasn't 50 turned back and 20 had perished in the battle. He sent out 70 as little lambs among the wolves. And the 70 came back again rejoicing. He sends them out despite hell's opposition. Every effort has been made to stop the march of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18, the apostle had to write to the church and say, we would have come to you, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. He could see the dark hand of the evil one here. He wasn't misreading the providence of God. There was another time when the Spirit prevented them from going, the Spirit of God. But this time he attributed to the devil. And we know that their evangelism was not all plain sailing. The apostles were often chased out of town. The Jews especially caused them much trouble. But at all times, the purposes of God, which are often hid from us, have always been worked out. Paul says when he preached in Thessalonica, he says he preached the gospel, he says, with much contention. And yet even there, even though they're battling, even though it's a fight on, they're struggling perhaps at times, he says the word of God came. The gospel came not in word only, not just in a lovely sermon, not just in a fancy outline, not just great illustrations. It came not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Who will go? Believer in the gallery tonight, missionary challenge, you're not being asked to take the wheel in the car here. Question is asked, who is sufficient for these things? None of us will dare say, I think I can do it. You've been asked just to trust the sovereign God and say, our sufficiency is of God. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, church with many problems. He says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We've asked the question, who will go? The second part of the title then, second point is, who will come? who will go and witness, who will go and evangelize, who will go and be a missionary while we're in Ballymena, further afield. Who will come? That is, who will come to Christ through our efforts. And of course, we're not being sent on a fool's errand. This isn't hit or miss. Who will come? Well, according to John 6 and 37, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And then the little promise on behalf of the sinner, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And they come when God effectually calls them to come. It might be the first time that they hear the gospel and have heard of that happening. People giving their testimony, never heard the gospel before. But I sat in a meeting and the moment I heard my need, I came to Christ. But for many of us, it was after perhaps several opportunities. Gently and long did he plead with my soul, calling for me. But these people that will come, come because God has decreed it. How does God accomplish it? Well, according to our text, he prepares the heart of the sinner. And he has to prepare the heart of the sinner because the heart of the sinner, left to itself, unrestrained, left to its natural desires, its sinful ways, the wicked heart will always resist the word of God. It is a seedbed of rebellion against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But something happens, and it has to happen for this to work. God changes the heart. That's the doctrine of regeneration, commonly expressed in the imperative words, you must be born again. Regeneration, where the Lord says, I will give you a new heart. Take away the old heart of stone, hard, dead, cold, resistant, and I will give you that living heart of flesh, receptive, desirous. This is the sovereign work we know of the Spirit of God, the wind blowing where it listeth, where it desires. Hear the sound thereof. We cannot tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. Yes, we can tell the direction of the wind, the weller vane will keep us right, but beyond that we can hardly go. Sovereign work of the Spirit of God. Man is entirely passive in the matter, because he is born again, born from above. He's not born from within. That was Finney taught that. Man could regenerate himself. It wasn't a supernatural work at all, he said. It was just really a scientific work. Certain conditions coming to pass and man making his decision. But that's not how the Bible teaches this work of regeneration. It is God opening the heart. And we see it powerfully illustrated in that meeting that the apostle had in Philippi. He goes into the town, he looks for a synagogue, but there's none in Philippi. But he makes a few inquiries. And somebody says there's a few Hebrew women out the way there. And they just meet together and people have heard them praying to Jehovah, to God. And so he makes his way out. And I, again, here, maybe a use of the imagination, but I just see a few women gathered. Maybe there was a whole lot, I don't know. I think he just sits around Sunday school style. I don't see him like John Knox blottering the pulpit here or anything like that. It's a very serene kind of thing. And he just explains the gospel to them. And there's this woman called Lydia, a well-to-do woman, a seller of purple. She's closed her shop to come to meet on the Sabbath day. And it says the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. The preparation of the heart is of the Lord. And the Lord opened her heart. And then she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. In other words, she was saved. Regenerate man then, when the Lord opens the heart, trusts the Lord with his heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And then the mouth, called in our text, the answer of the tongue. He confesses the work of God in his soul. That's the way we word it, isn't it? People professing to be saved. I trusted the Lord with all my heart, and now I am confessing him with my mouth. Some people think that the doctrine of God's sovereignty, or to be precise, our interpretation of it, hinders evangelism. You meet with that from time to time. It, say, it cuts the throat of praying. It leads to inaction. And such inaction leads to souls being lost. But history says otherwise, doesn't it? History says otherwise. The great evangelists of the past, with one or two notable exceptions, but they're only proving the rule. Spurgeon, Whitfield, Brainerd, Edwards, great evangelists of the past, the great missionaries, Carey, and so on, they all held to this great doctrine. I say, if God is not sovereign, if he's not sitting on his throne, doing whatsoever he will, why will we pray tonight? If we thought that through, and it was true, it would empty the prayer meeting tonight. If God is not sovereign, why would we pray? If God is not sovereign, then who has the last word? Let's go to that being, that person, and beseech him to do something about it. But no, we pray. We pray because God is sovereign. Is it the old, wicked, darkness-loving, holy, unregenerate sinner who has the last word? Dear me, how could we ever evangelize on grounds like that? But if we pray as Jesus himself taught us to pray, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, well then why would we hold back in our evangelism? Why would we cease to preach the gospel? As much as God gives us the opportunity to preach the gospel to every creature. The preparation of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. And so is salvation of the Lord. May the Lord bless these words. Just a few thoughts tonight to all of our hearts. I want to thank you for having me along tonight. I always enjoy deputation meetings. It gives me an opportunity to go to the people who have supported me for a long, long time. Our brother was just asking me there before the meeting, how long was it since I was out in America. I visited him out in America. It was 30 years ago, brother. And I was in the work a little while before that as well. I've been in the work since 1987 under our mission board. And that's only possible under God. It's only possible because not only of the faithful giving, but also the faithful praying of God's people. I think it's fair to say that my work for the Lord under God has evolved just a little bit. I must make mention of the dread COVID. I see there's started now an inquiry and it's going to run for years. So we're going to get that in the news regularly. But it had a very devastating effect upon a lot of the work of God. We all know the effect that it had. But there was something good come out of it. From my point of view, it brought our brother Noel Shields and myself together. We were working under our board, of course, but working in different areas. He was doing gospel missions here, there and yonder, and I was working largely over the border. But the claim that I couldn't get over the border, it would have been illegal at one time for me to have crossed over. And Noel, well, Orange Hall's closed down, churches limited and so on. And he rang me up and he said, brother, I think we should meet up when we do get out of the houses, get out of lockdown. We should maybe do some open air meetings. We'll go into the towns, get ourselves a good place, we'll get equipment, we'll stand, we'll preach and so on. And that's what we did for quite a number of months together. We had many, many open airs, Banbridge, Portadown, Lurgan, Armagh, all over the place, preaching the word of God. The time came then that we were able to have drive-in missions together. Still had some of the restrictions of COVID. We were all talking about our bubbles, your family bubble and so on. And we were able to have drive-in missions And I really enjoyed the drive-in missions. And some of these mission souls were saved, for which we praised the Lord. And then we got back indoors again. And we worked well together. We've just stuck together, really, over the winter months. Somebody like Noel and myself, the two peas out of the one pod, I'm still trying to work that one out. Who has the insult and who has the compliment, I'm not sure, in that one. But we work well together and we've had many, many missions. Now, this year has been like no other year, certainly from my point of view, because if we get through the year, the December, with all that is planned in the will of God, we will have done 9 gospel missions together. We've won every month from the beginning of the year. We started off in January in Marilyn Orange Hall. We had a week there. My regret there is that we didn't go for 2 weeks. We had really, really good meetings, but they're only a week. They were soon over. We went from Marilyn Orange Hall to Carrickfergus. The work in Carrick is a small work and very hard to get people in. All these meetings, these missions are all preceded by a week of door-to-door evangelism. And usually we have 1,000 or 2,000 homes to visit, knock on doors in great big estates, small estates, and so on. We went to Carrick in March. This was unique for me. We were in Parkanore Manor House. That's near Dungannon. And it's a big old 19th century manor house with all the wooden panels and so on, big windows, big flagstones on the floor and so on. We were there for 2 weeks. We had a good time on saved people gathered in. And of course, that's what it's all about, isn't it? The month of April, we went to the Isle of Man. We were asked to go over there. A week in evangelism around the doors. And then also a week of gospel preaching. The work in the Isle of Man is very, very small. We thought Carrick was small, Isle of Man is a small work. But we got on well there. There was one lady come in, I believe very near the kingdom. She had been brought up in the little church in the Isle of Man, got away from the Lord, married a Roman Catholic man, the marriage hit the rocks, and now she's seeking the things of God. And then in the month of May, my last mission there, we were in the John Knox Church in the Shankill Road. Again, just small works. And whether it's a big church or a small church, you preach the same message. You hold forth the same word of life. You don't have to tailor it any. So we got on very well there. We have part of company with Noel just for the summer. At the moment, he is in a mission up in Macrofelt. And it started on Sunday. And I heard today that there's been 2 souls already profess faith. So we're rejoicing in that, aren't we? The Lord again. Who's going to come? The Lord is drawing people to himself. My plan over the summer, starting tomorrow, will be to return for the summer work down to the Republic of Ireland. God willing, in the morning I'll get down to Knock just for a couple of days. I have a meeting on Friday night, but I'll go down for a couple of days. I used to go take down an old camper van, and it has since been replaced. The camper van went the way of all camper vans, and it's no more. It's gone. But the board very kindly replaced it with a people carrier, and I'm able to use that. I'll go down to Knock Shrine, just outside the gate, as I've been now for a number of years, set up a little bit of a literature display, and get talking to a lot of interesting and different people down at Knock. I also hope, in the will of God, to go to Dublin and meet up with several brethren there in Dublin. I can see the work getting harder in Dublin. Maybe we should be praying about this. They brought a new law in Dublin, and it's all related to this hate speech, where if somebody's offended, well, then you've hated them. So the gospel's offensive right away. Now, we don't preach to be offensive. There's different ways to preach, and of course, you could go out and annoy people, set out to annoy people. Don't believe in that. The gospel itself is offensive. The rock of offense on which many will fall. But the law is sort of tightened considerably that if anybody takes offence, the police can take off you any of your electronic gadgets, in other words, your phone. And you have to give them then the code for your phone. And if he finds anything offensive in it, maybe a little meme that you've got off the internet, then it's up to you to prove, and this is where it gets nasty, it's up to you to prove that you weren't going to send it on to somebody else. So you can see there justice has stood in its head. You're not guilty until you prove your innocence. And that can be very, very awkward indeed. But nevertheless, we'll go down and, you know, the Lord's gone before. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord and so on. But pray for Knock and for Dublin particularly. And then also we are planning to go to the Ploughing Championships. It started back again last year after the break with COVID. And it's always a good time. I think if I get my dates right again, I think this year's the 25th year of that. And of course, it started off through the work in Cork in very, very small circumstances. Just a couple of us went down with a scripture jacket on, a box of tracts. Now we talk about a marquee, talk about people coming in, getting cups of tea, a literature table, and usually about 15,000 to 17,000 gospel calendars going out. So we look forward to that every year. It's early mornings and late nights. But nevertheless, it's a good time. We get into the autumn again in the will of God. We've had 5 missions covered already. September, we're having a mission. Ian Noel and myself up in Malvern, near Strabane. The Youth Council will be helping with the outreach there. Then in October, I will have a mission. I'll be on my own in this one in Kilskerry. And there will also be one in Achillea. And then we finish off the year near home, thankfully, with a 2-week mission in the Clocker Valley Church. That's about 3 miles from where I live. So I think after all these missions, it'll be good to get nearer home again. I'm not as young as I used to be. And bed always is sweeter every night when you've been travelling all those miles all round the place. Now, just before we hand it back, I believe to our brother Greer, can I remind you that there is a prayer card. First and foremost, it's a prayer card. And maybe you have this prayer card at home because I just went for a reprint. You get to a certain time in your life when you realise the photographer is not your friend, okay, or the camera is not your friend. And I decided, well, we're going to level this out. I'll run with this one until I retire. So maybe you have it, but if not, there's plenty there, and you want to take it. If you want to support me on a monthly basis, okay, you know what to do. You fill in that wee bit there, the wee white bit, you cut it off, and you send it to Glenda in the Mission Board office. And any support that we have as the Lord leads, let me assure you that it is greatly appreciated. So thank you for having me along tonight, and it's good to be here. And I'm looking forward also to the time of prayer. Thank you, brother.